Neu in der Deutschlandcard-App. Sammle Punkte mit deinen Kassenbons von DM, Rossmann und vielen weiteren Supermärkten und Drogerien. Einfach Kassenbons scannen, punkten und sparen. Jetzt gratis mit der Deutschlandcard-App.
Hello everyone and welcome to Off Track. For those tuning in for the first time, welcome. I'm delighted to have you. This is a chance where I get to talk to you openly without a guest. It's just me with a mic. It's unscripted. It's fully improv'd. And I talk about usually the previous episode, insights that I've learned from it, or things that are important to me. And if you like, I kind of use this as a bit of a therapy session. So thank you for listening. If no one is listening, it's still okay for the simple reason, like I said, it's helping me process a lot of things. So I'm really grateful for the off-track sort of additions, the bonus and material that I'm putting out there. And it's been really well received. So I'm really grateful to hear that as well. That's definitely a bonus. So what do I want to talk to you about today? Well, I want to talk to you about the latest and last episode, the season two finale of the Inside Track. I never thought I'd be saying that, season two finale in all of my life, but here we are. So on the show, on the episode, I had Ahmed Shahabeldin. For those who don't know Ahmed, he is a prominent journalist, first and foremost. He's worked for the biggest news corporations in the world, in this part of the world, as well as in the States. His CV is extremely impressive. More than that, he's extremely eloquent, very well educated. He's of Palestinian descent, but he's also Kuwaiti and American. He's someone who has been more and more prominent in the public eye because of what's been going on in Gaza and also in Lebanon more recently. You know, and it's been really interesting to have a journalist come on the show at the end, because there's been this sort of undertone of the conflict and what's been happening in the region, sort of bubbling a little bit under the surface. So it was quite nice to be able to invite someone onto the show to talk about it, but not necessarily just purely from an emotional bias perspective, but from a journalistic perspective, first and foremost. So it was great to have Ahmed on the show. And before I say anything else, he's just a lovely, lovely guy. He comes across to me on camera, very eloquent, very, very confident. He knows what he's talking about. Then you meet him off camera and he's just the same. He's just lovely. And you kind of just want to hang out with him. And to be fair to him, he was in Dubai. He was on a visit. He wasn't here for very long, but we managed to convince him to come in just before he flew off to the airport. So literally the episode is being shot and his flight is 3 hours away. So it was really, really nice. And we're really grateful to Ahmed for coming in. And we had a great conversation. We covered so many different topics. And just a couple of them I'm going to pick on today and focus on today, because I thought they're really important for us to discover and go through in a little bit more detail. Insights, generally speaking, are all about getting a deeper understanding or knowledge of a certain subject matter. And Ahmed definitely did that. He definitely illuminated a lot of areas, especially when it comes to the conflict and the history of the conflict. But I kind of want to focus the conversation, and I even talked about this with Ahmed on the show, was about how journalism and journalists in particular, how they come across. So yes, all journalists should be talking facts. All journalists should not be distorting the truth. We all agree on that. The reality is that's not really the case, but the true journalism is about delivering news in a non-biased, ethical manner. But I want to talk to you about is how the news is delivered. And what I've noticed, and I don't know if you guys are with me on this, but there's a lot of journalists here in this part of the world, from the Arab world, who, when they talk about what's going on, they still talk about it, they still talk facts, but it's the emotive nature of how they talk. They put so much emotion into journalism and into covering the news. It's extraordinary. You compare that with the Western journalists, and look, I spent most of my time in the UK listening to news. They would deliver the news in a very fact-based approach, very professional, etc., very polished, but you never got a sense of real empathy. Or even any level of sympathy, any level of humanity when it comes to the communication style of the journalists. And you'd always feel like, okay, what is the right approach to covering the news? At the end of the day, covering news is about covering, you know, what's important to us as people. And, you know, what people want to see or what people don't want to see is also subjective. But I would argue that now, in 2025, the how you deliver the news is as nearly as important as the actual news itself, because it will display what type of person you are and how authentic you are, and what level of, you know, what degree of empathy you have as an individual. And ironically, the more authenticity you have, the more empathy you have, the more you're believable to audiences. So the how has become extremely important. And I asked Ahmed the question. I said to him, you know, are people in this part of the world more emotive when it comes to journalism? They show more emotions. And he agreed. And sometimes, and I've seen this, I don't know if you guys have seen this as well, but when you have Arab journalists appearing on these shows, these Western shows, Piers Morgan, you'll see that the way in which the West, the Western journalists, the English, the Americans, how they talk versus how the Arabs are talking about the same subject, it's night and day. I mean, you'll see people, you know, from this part of the world outpouring their heart. They'll be going, you know, into a way, into a certain type of dialogue that really is all about showcasing the pain and suffering, and empathizing with the people that they're covering, the news that they're covering. But you don't see that at all from the Western journalists. So there is a real stark difference. And definitely in this part of the world, there is more emotions. I personally believe that if you're gonna report the news, it's much, much better to do it in a way that empathizes with the audience or the coverage that you're doing in the first place, the news coverage that you're trying to, you know, report back on. That is everything for me, because now everything that you see on social media, when you're watching on mainstream TV, linear TV, how much do you actually even believe it in the first place? You believe things now based on the person. Do you believe the person? Do you trust the person? Do you like the person? Is that person authentic? And how can you really do that if you never show any emotion? So for me, journalism has now started to shift into following the journalist as much as it is as following the news corporations. And the news corporations are losing their credibility and their authenticity if they continue to focus on this very bland style of reporting. Again, it's always about reporting the facts. It's always about reporting the truth. But the how you do it is everything to me. So I thought that was a really interesting thing. And I think a lot of the West judge Arab journalists here and kind of dismiss them because they show too much emotion. But I think it really should be the other way around. I think we should dismiss a lot of the Western journalism because they don't show enough emotion. They don't show enough empathy with what's going on. The second insight really that I kind of want to talk to you a little bit about was a question that I asked to Ahmed about, you know, is the world never been more awake, or is it really still asleep? And that's in regard to, you know, conflicts that are happening, whether it's in Lebanon and Gaza and Sudan, you know, in Ukraine or whatever the case is. I mean, there's conflict everywhere, I mean, in some form or another. But in terms of actual wars, you know, is the world never been more asleep, or is it actually waking up? Because there's a lot of things that are still continuing to happen, and nothing is really still being done about it. If you cast your mind back about 18 months ago, you were seeing protests in pretty much every single major city about, in specific, about what was happening in Palestine. You're not seeing those protests anymore. You're not seeing the same level of local support, grassroots support that you once were. So when I asked him the question about, is the world, you know, are we awake, or we've never been more asleep? He was saying we're awake. We've never been more awake, and I like that because it's optimistic. But there's a part of me that thinks it's actually not the case. I feel that we've regressed. We are more aware of what's going on, but we just don't seem to care as much as we potentially once did. And I think there's a newness to news, and I think we're all kind of guilty of this. When something first breaks, there's always this outcry of emotion or feeling or pain, anger, whatever you want, frustration, whatever you want to call it. But then, you know, you get numbed over time if the same news keeps recurring, and it kind of becomes more and more background noise. And unfortunately, you go into autopilot and you start to fall asleep again because you don't seem to have that same fire in your belly. And that really is frustrating, and it's happening all the time. So my frustration is that we do care, we all care, but then we tend to forget and we tend to deprioritize certain things or remove it from our top of mind consciousness to try and act and do something about it. So I think the world has never been more aware of stuff, but but I also feel like it's still sleeping. I still feel like we woke up a little bit, but we're kind of in that kind of snoozing state where, you know, when you wake up in the morning, you put the alarm on and it rings and you kind of put on snooze. I feel like we're snoozing a little bit. And I think now is the time more than ever to really shake ourselves up, because it sets a very dangerous precedent for the future. The world is in a very difficult place right now. There's a lot of pain and suffering that's going on, and we're looking to our world leaders to try and restore and balance out and to kind of fix some of those problems. But let's be honest, we all kind of know that that's a big, big dream, and we don't have, I don't personally have a lot of hope for that. I think we're much more likely and much more, you know, it's a better idea if we start to try and leverage and do our own actions. Than to try and put our faith in people that are, you know, let's face it, sitting in very nice glass houses and making decisions that are at our expense. I don't generally believe that, you know, there are amazing leaders in the world. Okay. And this is, I know I'm branching out a slightly different subject, but go with me on this. If I asked you 10 years ago to name, you know, let's go back 20 years ago, name three world leaders that are in the world that are inspirational. It'd be much easier to name those three leaders. I mean, typically someone like Nelson Mandela would pop up, but you ask now, name three world leaders that you can look up to. And look, there's a lot of stuff now also going on with Macron, if you guys haven't seen the news, but there's a lot of weird stuff coming out of France and the government there, on top of obviously what's been going on across Europe, and obviously in the US. So there is a real absence of real leadership. And I think that only makes the risk, it makes the risk of us remaining in snooze even longer. We need to wake up. We need to remember that actually the same news doesn't mean it's not important. It's more important. The fact that it continues to happen means that things need to change in order for it to stop. So let's not continue to gloss over or skip through certain ads that we see that are trying to raise awareness or funds for people that are suffering. Let's not gloss over or skip through reminders of or images of people who are in suffering, because the minute you keep doing that, you get one closer to losing your humanity. And really, if you want to set the world up for success in the future and inspire future generations and your kids, you've got to start acting now. So we do need to wake up. We need to get out of that snooze function. And we need more people like Ahmed to raise awareness of things that matter and to not give up the fight. In fact, I even asked him, one of the questions was, you know, if you're Palestinian, would you rather have courageous sort of persistence, or are you waiting and be patient for a renaissance, like a complete change? And for him, it was always about having that courageous resistance and persistence. And I think that's exactly what the world needs. So that's my two cents on the episode, on the importance of having that emotive journalism, and also on the importance of getting out of this whole snooze function when it comes to seeing the news and seeing injustices happening, because it's not going to help anybody. Next week, it's going to be interesting, because I'm in the closed season now. I'm recording for season 3. So next week's episode of Off Track, I'm going to be looking at some previous episodes and questions that I've asked that I want to explore further. I'll give you some more context, of course, in that recording about what the question was, who it was to. But I'll be going back through the annuals of time. Is that right? Annuals or annals of time? I'm not sure. And reviewing what we had as season two, and even some parts of season 1. Some great questions, some great insights from guests. So I'll be bringing that to you guys before we launch with season 3. I'm really excited about season 3. Funnily enough, today I'm recording a few episodes, so I'm really excited about it. Guys, thank you so much for listening in. I really, really appreciate this, all of the support, and I'll see you next week on Off Track. Take care, all the best.
Neu in der Deutschlandcard-App. Sammle Punkte mit deinen Kassenbons von DM, Rossmann und vielen weiteren Supermärkten und Drogerien. Einfach Kassenbons scannen, punkten und sparen. Jetzt gratis mit der Deutschlandcard-App.